Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Meglia. Tom is a chartered financial consultant, an accredited estate planner. He holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services. He's got more than 28 years of financial counseling and coaching experience. That number's growing all the time. Tom's also
sure
Crown Ministries budget coach and a business and church consultant as well. We would love to hear from you. You can reach us by phone at 800-386-3700. Or you can reach us online at theeconomyofgod.com. Make sure you visit the website. There's a ton of resources. Sign up for our monthly newsletter. Also, pick up a copy of Tom's latest book, The Economy of God. Here he is, our host, Tom.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Great, but I'm better because we have two kids in here.
We have some special guests.
Who
and
are they?
They look just like us.
We just found them on the street.
You found that one and he looks just like you. How'd you pull that one off? This
I don't
is
know.
Great. We actually are doing a special series. We're wrapping it up today, mm-hmm. and we decided, since we're doing the kids' economy,
right.
to go ahead and bring our kids in.
Absolutely. Knowing the Economy of God, mm-hmm. and this is the fifth part in the five-week series on financial discipleship for kids. So we call it Kids' Economy. So welcome, Jonathan. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi.
That's Jonathan and Daisy. Hi, Daisy.
Hi.
Hi, honey.
How old are you, Daisy?
10.
And Jonathan?
11.
When was your last birthday? Daisy, you first.
Oh, September 19th.
Oh, so you're going to be 11 in a few weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Jonathan?
May 23rd.
So our kids are basically the same age.
Yep.
They're both going into sixth grade.
She'll be 11 soon, so they're tied.
I know.
All right.
That's great.
Well, we've been talking about Proverbs 22:6. So, Reba, why don't you remind everyone what our keynote verse is for the five-week series on kids.
Here it is. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it.
Exactly. And how about that? How about Jonathan reading 2 Timothy 3:16-17? Or do you know it by heart,
he
Jonathan?
He does know this by heart.
He does?
Because he has quoted it to me.
He has?
Yeah.
Should we close up his Bible? Put the pressure on
him? Well, you're the dad, so that's your decision.
All right, let's close up the Bible and put pressure on him. Jonathan, what is 2 Timothy 3:16-17, nice and loud?
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Wow. Woo! Fantastic. That was great. That was better than what I normally do.
Memorization. He's pretty good, huh?
It's a skill. It's a skill. You're doing a good job, Tom.
Great. Now, let's bring in Daisy for the four anchors. We want to talk about the four anchors of God's economy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Daisy, why don't you take number one?
God is the owner.
Okay, Jonathan, number two.
We are the stewards.
Okay.
Very good.
Giving is the first order of stewardship.
Contentment is the goal of every Christian.
Awesome.
That sounds great coming out of the mouth of babes.
Why don't we turn the whole program over to them?
and let them teach us. I think I know what Daisy would want to be steward over.
What?
Candy.
Oh. Oh, really?
Yeah, but that might change once she's 11, because that's more sophisticated age, so we'll see.
I know. That's cool. Well, that's our four anchors, and so we always talk about that. And today's program is the fifth of the five-part series mm-hmm. on Kids' Economy, our children's financial discipleship. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot, Reba, for 4 weeks, and I'm going to remind everybody what the first eight principles were, just to summarize, and then we'll take Economic Principles 9 and 10 for today.
Fantastic. Let me just say this real quick, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, to me, is so great about the four anchors, real quick before we move on,
sure.
is that they are so simple, mm-hmm. but so concrete that even children can understand them. But they last us through our entire life.
Exactly. And if we ask the kids, what does an anchor represent to them,
mm-hmm.
which let's go ahead and do that, and let's see how they visualize what an anchor
oh,
is.
Okay.
Daisy, you first. What does an anchor mean to you?
Well, from hearing it sounds like somebody in a studio talking.
Oh, a news anchor.
She's definitely the
child of a radio personality.
You are definitely made to be in the media business.
News anchor.
Wow, that's funny.
That's one we didn't think about.
I've never thought of that. Why do kids teach adults? Jonathan, how do you view the word anchor? What does it mean to you?
Something that it slows you down, and you have to be equipped correctly to be able to move with it on attached to you.
Okay, and what does an anchor do for a ship?
It holds it in place.
Right, just like God's word holds our thinking into place, right? Okay, so that's great. Okay, so let's talk about the, remind everybody what the top eight economic principles are, and then we'll do the two today, and that's our 10 principles over five-part series.
Fantastic.
5 weeks. Number one, we said this in the very first week, Reba, as you know, parents must live by example for kids to truly learn and believe.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, kids must be taught the Bible verses that God's economy emulates so that the parents are demonstrating and teaching the Bible principles at the same time. Number three, the lessons, if taught correctly, will last a lifetime. That's why the proverb says that. Number four, when kids are older, if they drift away from what was taught to them, they'll know how to find their way back to the right path if they should stray. If they weren't taught the right thing when they were young, they won't know the right path to get back onto. They'll just recognize they're on the wrong path, but they won't know the right path to come back to. Number five, do not spoil your children. Number six, teach kids to be generous givers. And then last week, number seven and eight, we said, let's teach kids on saving, how to save. And number eight, teach kids the danger of debt.
Mm.
And then last week you mentioned about how Daisy saved her money, but she couldn't find it. Have you found your money, Daisy, that you were trying to save?
Yeah.
Yeah, she did.
Oh,
we
she
actually
did?
We actually did a garage sale this weekend, and she did a bake sale.
Oh, really?
So she found her money so she could and made some more money, a little bit more money.
And
so.
Where did you put it? Well, don't tell the world, but do you know where you put it and you remember where you put it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Don't put it under Mom's pillow, okay? Is that where you put it?
No.
No. Good.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, Reba, let's talk about numbers 9 and 10 today. And you should have that on your list there. So why don't you go ahead and take 9 and 10.
Okay, number 9, you are the parent steward of your kids, no one else's. So don't pawn the responsibility onto someone else, like a neighbor, relatives, friends, teachers, pastors, school gym coaches, etc. Don't think, my wife can do 90% of the parenting, so all I'm going to do is 10%.
Right. You know, the job of being a steward of the child is each, mother and father. So if mom or dad or both says, oh, my school, the school teacher that the kids have can do the parenting. You know, we're busy with our own things, our hobbies, self-employed businesses, whatever. That's not how God intended it to be.
Number 10, allowances. Have a plan and explain the allowance plan to the kids.
Right. And on the allowances, it's important that when it comes to allowances, you have to have a game plan. You can't just pass out money and say, here you go. You know, here's your money. Here's your $20 a week. And not teach them what to do with it. You know, that's just not, that's ridiculous. That's that's the worst thing you can do is give money away and then say, just go do whatever you want to do. So why don't we talk about both of these things, okay?
And I actually had one of Daisy's friend's parents ask me. She was like, what do you do with the allowances? How do you divvy out the allowances? Because I guess they were having a dispute at their household over it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I know.
And what did you tell
people
them?
People are really concerned about that. Well, at the time, Daisy wasn't getting an allowance. And I told her that. I said, Daisy doesn't get an allowance. She gets money when she's going to do different things. And she does also, she earns money in different ways. But she doesn't, at this, not that I think there's anything wrong with it. We just haven't developed a plan yet.
And what did that person respond
she
to what you said?
She was shocked.
Really?
She was shocked. She gives her daughter $50 a month.
Really?
She gives her the 50 all in one lump sum, and that's it.
Has she taught her what to do with that
$50? No.
She has not.
Mm-mm.
Then she's fallen way short.
Because
with allowances, as you can see on the notes, why don't we go ahead and take the notes?
Let's do that.
You know, obviously we have a break coming up, but let's see if we can get a little bit of this done
first
before the break.
Yeah.
First of all, the things I'm thinking of, allowances are good, not bad. And the key is to have a plan and explain the allowance plan to the kids. Work for money and rewards for work and for obedience is a good thing, I think, especially extra things beyond just the normal chores. I don't think kids should be getting money just for normal chores.
Making their bed, brushing their teeth.
Exactly. But maybe things that are out of the ordinary that are extra help.
Washing mom's car.
Washing windows. Washing windows. Kids do windows, right? Guidelines. Kids learn about the use and acquisition of money. They need to understand they don't just get it for free and get to blow it. They have to respect money and learn to appreciate money and the responsibility of having money.
Yeah, because that could be a lot of years of just getting money for nothing.
Right.
You can go 15 years of just getting handed money that you just blow.
The high school I grew up in, all the kids were given tons of money and gifts and all kinds of things. They didn't learn the responsibility of it.
Behind it. Okay, well, we're going to go to a break. As you can see, this is one of the most juiciest shows on Kids Economy that we've had, having the kids here. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to come right back in just a second, so stay with us.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call in.
Back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
Welcome back to Knowing the Economy of God with our host Tom Meglia. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at 800-386-3700 or visit us online at theeconomyofgod.com. We are, we're wrapping up this series, and this is some of the best parts. I'm so excited.
Let's continue. I love it too, Reba, because, you know, it's something that people need to do. And as we get back into allowances, we talk about money for labor, learning the principle of money for work. So when they get to be adults, they think, oh, money comes not from trees. It doesn't grow on trees. It comes from work and labor.
Yeah.
It's not handed to them. They shouldn't expect it for nothing. They need to learn the principle of working, using their abilities for money, and then that money in turn pays bills.
I think we have a generation right now that does think money grows on trees.
Right.
And they think someone should even climb up there and pick the money and hand it to them.
They're entitled. You know, the entitlement thinking.
Yeah, definitely.
I grew up in a high school where the entitlement was unbelievable. Just, I'm entitled to it. They really thought that. And it's important not to spoil kids. We've talked about that last week because they won't learn and respect the use and value of money. And that's not in God's economy. Kids also need to learn the principle of giving. So if Jonathan and Daisy here get allowance money, they need to learn to give some of it to the Lord, to evangelize and to be put into the Great Commission, right?
Yep, that's right. That's a really important thing. It's one of the anchors.
It's one of the anchors is to be a giver.
Yeah.
So kids, when you get your allowance money, part of it should go towards giving and being a missionary. So we want to give it to God's work, okay? And part of it goes for saving. You want to touch on the saving element?
Well, that's another thing that the entitlement generation doesn't do, save. Most people seem to spend, you know, twice as much as they make, not save anything at all. So it is definitely something that we should be teaching our kids. Tom, are we going to talk more about this in application?
Yeah, and I think that as we get to application, let's just transition right into it. You know, I know Jonathan has a bank account,
mm-hmm.
and it's with Wells Fargo, and he has a statement that comes every so often,
mm-hmm.
and now's the time for him to start reading it and seeing mm-hmm. that he made a little interest, and
mm-hmm.
if you put some in here, it grows, and it's for the future, for school, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, unusual things. You never know. Maybe God will put on his heart, hey, there's a missionary thing to give to from our school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he goes to a Christian school in Glendora. Maybe give to a special mission, that kind of thing. And save some in the bank. Let it grow.
Mm.
And so that's important to learn to do that. And so that is application. Start getting your fingertips on the statements. You
mm-hmm.
can read it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with kids 10 and up reading a statement.
Yeah, no, Daisy has a Wells Fargo bank account, too.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, another thing the kids have in common.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, we'll have to show you how to read that statement.
Yeah, it's time, because then you put some away for the future,
mm-hmm.
saving, and put some towards God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what kids need to physically do.
And they need to do that mm-hmm. every week like we do as adults? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yeah. And if he does something out of the ordinary that my wife Julie wants him to do, then he gets a little extra.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of things you can do to teach.
Mm-hmm.
The key is to teach them the value and the responsibility of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that it belongs to God, and they need to be good managers of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that fits the anchors.
Well, you know, it's funny because Daisy doesn't actually sit in church with me. She goes to a youth service. And so she doesn't really see me putting money into the offering plate every month. I don't, or every week or 2 weeks. I don't even know if she's, have you seen me do that before, Daisy? Isn't that something? Our kids and our... And the adults are living in a way to where the kids aren't seeing the parents do that.
Right.
Does Jonathan go to church service with you guys?
Yes, he sits with us.
Oh, he does.
The kids to sit with us.
Okay.
I like it for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we write the check, you know,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes I give it to Jonathan to put
in there. Yeah.
The thing, the bag. And,
well, we even have online contributions. So sometimes it's easier for me just when I'm paying my bills online to just do it online.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Daisy would never see me do that online either.
Then print out the statement. Print out the thing that you, the computer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just print it and show it to her. And
mm-hmm.
say, look, Daisy, we gave electronically
mm-hmm.
to God's work. And she'll understand that. All the young people understand that.
Right,
so
right.
That'll click home easy with young people. So, Reba, why don't you take this, the last paragraph, and we'll touch base on what we're talking about regarding allowances.
Oh, I see. Increase allowance with age.
Right.
And never use allowance as a bribe for good or obedient behavior.
No, you can't bribe kids into good and obedient behavior.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to already want to obey
mm-hmm.
because they're supposed to honor their father and mother,
mm-hmm.
as the Ten Commandments says in Exodus 20.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't, that's, otherwise it's a dog. You're like, oh, here, you know, do this and we'll
mm-hmm.
bribe you with the dog biscuit to
Well, let
do
me
the
ask
right
you this,
thing.
Tom. What would you say to a parent who's been doing everything the opposite? But they're listening right now and they say, gosh, you know, I want to make these changes. How do I do that? How do I start? I've got this spoiled, rotten child that expects me to climb up a tree and pull money off and give it to them every week so they can blow it.
Well, the way to start is when you get the book, Knowing the Economy of God,
mm-hmm.
there's a section in there that talks about your upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in the upbringing, you're supposed to take a quiz that says in the home you grew up in, this is how money was managed and what money represented. When you were young.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing a parent needs to do to turn the whole thing around, according to your question,
mm-hmm.
in case they're doing things opposite of what we've been talking about.
Right. And
for
most,
5 weeks.
And most people are.
Most people, right. That's right.
The first good Bible believing people that are just doing it wrong.
Doing it wrong.
Yeah.
The first thing they need to do is take the quiz and go back in their own life and find out how they were raised
mm-hmm.
so they can identify. It's like debt scene investigation, DSI,
DSI,
instead of CSI.
Yeah, I love it.
They need to go back and find out why they did the things they did
mm-hmm.
or why their parents did so they can discover the things that they became as they grew up in their adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
So they can find out to this day, why do they do things like this? You can't turn something around if you don't know why you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know why you did something when you go back in time and discover what your parents did to you or did around you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first step. Then you apply the 10 principles that we learned over the last 5 weeks, including today,
mm-hmm.
and you start making the major changes.
Okay.
So that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
And that's why in the book where it talks about in the home I grew up in,
mm-hmm.
that quiz,
mm-hmm.
you say, okay, my parents did this or that. then you learn what they did, why you do the things, and why you pass on to your kids what you learn from your folks.
We were just reading a book, actually Daisy and I both were, John Trent's book called The 2-Degree Shift That Changes Everything. And it's a really interesting theory that sometimes you see this change that you need to make, and it's overwhelming. A lot of people don't do it. Sometimes if you just make a 2-degree shift at a time towards this, what we're talking about right here, then you can make it in small steps, and you can see some momentum build.
Exactly. And I think that's very important. You have to do that. And in principle number 9, Reba, we just touched on it a little bit. I'm going to touch on it just a little more. And the best way to touch on it is by application. So let me just tell you about principle number 9. You're the parent. Do the parenting. Okay? That's the principle.
Yeah.
I have a friend who doesn't do the parenting. He pawns it off on his wife. She does the parenting. He doesn't want to do the parenting. He doesn't want to do it. Okay? And that's not being a good steward. Now, God owns all kids, all people. It's God's property. But he's the parent. He's one of the parents. And he has to be a good steward. He doesn't want to parent him. He's a friend of mine. And he just, he may talk the game, but not walk it. And so you can't have your wife or the PE coach or the third grade teacher do the parenting and assume it's done correctly. And I have another friend who's gone so often, he's not around to do the parenting. So you're the parent. Do the parenting. Right?
That's right.
What do you think of that?
It's the world we live in right now. I'm totally guilty of it. We're so busy. We've got so many things going on. It can be so easy to just put things off or to think somebody else is going to help you with this or that area. But like you said, if we're the stewards, then we need to be out there doing the work.
Right. You can't say, oh, I'll let the school teach my kids and I can't do it. Or somebody else.
Because in the schools are not teaching our kids about money.
Right.
Whatsoever.
Exactly.
At all.
I know.
Not even a little.
Even in the Christian school Jonathan goes to in Glendora, there are no financial classes.
None.
There should be.
At least one.
I know. But see, that's another issue. Because the principals, the leadership of schools and churches, they're not getting this.
They don't teach this in church Sunday school either.
Right. But see, they're still assuming kids aren't as significant as they should be. That's the point I'm making. Now, prayer of change today, why don't we elect Jonathan to do the prayer of change today?
Oh, that'd be
Jonathan,
great.
Jonathan, you want to do the prayer of change today?
Do you have it written down?
No.
That's awesome.
But you're such a great prayer warrior. I know that.
Can you just pray that the people listening will want to change?
Okay. All right. Okay. Hit it.
Dear Lord, please help the people who are listening to this to realize and look back at how their parents taught them. And if they think that they were taught in the wrong way, then please help them to make that prayer of change so that they might be able to coach their kids properly in financial things and the economy of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow. That was fantastic. What a great message. If you need a financial planner, and believe me, you do. There are so many things, retirement, kids' education, tax liabilities, special investments. Call Tom, 800-386-3700. We'll see you next week.
To Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.